Now we're holding Kuf Amud Aleph, the Mishnah. This Mishnah and the Gemara on it don't really directly have to do with the subject of our Perek about the Shoyl and various other Shomrim. It's going to be talking about cases of claims of Bori versus Shema and Hamotzim Chaver L'Varaya and Yachloku and things like that. The Meiri explains that's what our Mishnah is doing over here, since we had earlier in the Perek the case where the Shoyl and the Socher and the Maskir are arguing about what was the status of this animal. Was it Sha'ula at the time that an accident happened to it? Was it Sechora? You have the case where one says Bari and the other one says Shema. Both of them say Bari, both of them said Shema. So now similarly the Gemara, now similarly then the Mishnah brings in a similar kind of thing involving other dinim on this. So the Mishnah says, "Hamachlef pora b'chamor v'yolda." A person exchanges a cow for a donkey, and it gave birth. So now we don't know, did it give birth before the chalifin or after it? We're mentioning hamachlef. Rashi points out it can't be hamoicher that he sold it, because then you would need meshicha in order for the sale to take effect. And if there's a meshicha, then obviously you know whether the animal is still pregnant or whether it gave birth. Therefore, you have to do a machlif over here. You have to be the cases where you're doing kinyan chalifin, where you can do the meshicha on one in one place, and you kona the other one automatically in the other place. So therefore, so you can have, for example, that you did a machlif para b'chamer. The other guy did meshicha on the chamer. The para is still back home in your barn, and still you're the other and still. And well, you're going to do Mashiach on the Chamer. The other guy is going to automatically then acquire the Parah, even though it's still in your barn. And now, when he comes to pick it up, he finds that it gave birth, and we don't know whether it was before or after the Chalifin. Similarly, if a person sells his shivcha and she gave birth, and again we don't know whether it was before or after the sale. Now with a shivcha, you can do a sale, because after all, an eved or a shivcha you can acquire with an eved or a shivcha knanis, that is, you can acquire like fields. They're considered in many areas of halacha similar to karka, and therefore you can buy them the kesef b'shtar of a chazaka. So therefore, it's perfectly possible to pay for a shivcha sight unseen, and then you come to fetch her, and it turns out that she gave birth. So the one says it happened before I sold it, and therefore the baby, and therefore the baby is mine because I didn't sell it together with the mother. And the other one says it took place after I bought it. So then they divide it, as we're going to see in the Gemara why they do that, why we don't say that somebody has a chazaka or whatever. So there are there is a little bit of there is a little bit of discussion over here. That's the Shita Mekubetzes brings up the question. So what's the scenario? If you told them that you're going to be selling them a pregnant cow, and now it turns out, and now you're claiming it wasn't pregnant at the time, it already given birth, it would be a mekachtos. So the Shita Mekubetzes brings a couple of possibilities. Yes, he says it was. I did sell you a pregnant cow. So now, okay, so I want to keep this one, because now this one is obviously not the one. It wasn't pregnant anymore by the time I sold it to you. So I'll give you a different one instead. Or you could say that it wasn't even mentioned to begin with pregnant. You just mentioned I'm trading you such and such a cow, and then we don't know what the story was with the pregnancy. Continues them. By the way, yeah, there is all this hamachlef para b'chamer is also brought in a number of places in Chassidus with deeper meanings behind it. B'chlal, in many places in Chassidus, it makes the point that there are things we learn down here that are enclosed in the physical, in the physical gashmius of the world. But in Gan Eden, for example, they learn the same halachas on a whole different level, because they learn them as referring to ruchniistic concepts. So here with Parah and Chamor, there's a couple of different possibilities. There's some maimorim of the Friedrich Rebbe, which the Rebbe quotes, which explain that the Parah symbolizes Gvura, because it's a very excitable animal, and the donkey represents chesed, because it's a more placid animal, and therefore we're talking about a person who's swapping out hamachlef. He's swapping out one type of avoda through chesed for another through gvura. another place where the Friedrich Rebbe talks about that a parah is a kosher animal, so it represents the kind of avodah that we do straight with things, we do regular avodah sabirurim, whereas a chamur being a non-kosher animal represents a different type of avodah. Represents the type of avoda where we have to where we have to stay away from something, and where we have to do like stronger birurim in order to manage with it. And the question is, what happens when you're able to do one type of when you're able to do one of these types of avoda, and instead you're doing another type. So there are either way. Then you have different possibilities about what this represents in avoda, aside from the simple meaning that we're saying over here in the Gemara. So the second explanation of Pora and Chamur actually then is where the Chamur is Kabbalah's oil. Like you have a Chamur as a symbol of a beast of burden. So then in that case, you're talking about regular Avodah Sabirurim versus you're talking about Kabbalah's oil. And what happens then when a person trades in his regular Avodah of Ur Yosher for an Avodah of Kabbalah's oil. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So similarly continues the Mishnah. Hoyula beis avodim. Similarly, if a person had two avodim, echad gadol ve'echad katan, one was older, one was younger. V'chein shtei sodas achas gadol v'achas katan, or two fields, one big and one small. And he said, "I'm selling you an eved or a field," and he didn't specify which one. Hagadol omer. Or maybe he did specify, and now they're not sure, whatever. The Lakeach says, "I bought the bigger one." And the Mocher says, "I don't know." Then the Lakeach is entitled to the larger one, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Why? If it's the other way around, the seller says, "I sold the small one," and the buyer says, "I don't know," then he's only entitled to the small one. If each one is maintaining their claim as a tainus body, each one is saying it was definitely the big one, it was definitely the small one, then the moicher will have to swear that it's the small one that he sold. Now the Gemara is going to ask why you don't swear on things involving karka, so we'll get into that. And if each one says that he doesn't know, yachloiku, then they divide it. So the Gemara says, "Amai yachloiku." Now, in the ratio of the Mishnah, where with the hamachlif parah b'chamur and amurcha shifchase v'yolda, if we're saying that each one is claiming it happened before I sold it, and therefore the baby is not included, and the other one saying it happened before you sold it, and therefore the baby is mine because it was born in my rishus. The question is, "Amai yachloiku?" Why are we saying they divide it? The lechzi b'rishus d'man kaima. Why don't we look whose rishus it was in? And then we're going to say on the other one, so in other words, let's say, so the cow was in Reuven's barn. Shimon is claiming that he should be entitled to the animal because he did the Meshicha on the other one because Reuven did the Meshicha on the other one before this one gave birth. Well, it's in Reuven's possession. Shouldn't we say, if Shimon wants to be able to claim it, we would say, Amotzi Mechavel Avaraya. Tosfos actually brings up another point as well, which is that when it comes to animals and avodim, you can't really easily say that just because it's in your reshus, it's a chazaka anyway. Hagodras emlem chazaka. The Gemara says that animals that can wander away, animals and avodim that can wander around from one place to another, then not necessarily is it because it's in your reshus, it's a chazaka, because they may have just come in there on their own. So Tosfos discusses for one thing, because over here there's Jurada de Mamona. There is an inherent suffix over here. Even if they didn't make any claims, we ourselves, based in themselves, would still have to figure out what's the story with this baby. What's the story with the baby animal or baby Eved? And therefore, if the Lekeach is saying that, if the Lekeach is claiming body, then if it's in his reshus, then fine, you leave it in his reshus. But if he says shema, then maybe just because he has a chazaka is not going to be enough to have him keep it. So in other words, in short, he's claiming body, so that's not reason enough to take it away from him if it is in his rishus. So therefore, that's the question. If it's in his rishus, then we should let it stay in his rishus. And the other rishonim, the Ritva and the Ran, give a different answer, that hagodris and lam chazaka is only when he's claiming that they're mine because they're in my rishus. Here he's saying we know there was a sale. The question is whether the baby was included. So then even godris, we're going to say that he can have a chazaka on them. So the question is, why don't we say amotzi mechavel v'raya? Because you're talking about when the animal gave birth, it was standing in a meadow. Well, it doesn't belong to either one of them. It's not right now in the chazaka of either one of them. Shivcha nami, and the same thing as far as a shivcha, dekaima besimta, we can be talking about that she was standing in a side street, which is the kind of place where you typically sell things, because you don't usually sell them in Rishos HaRabim, because it's too busy over there, and therefore, again, that it's not in the Rishos of either one of them. Of course, it could be in Rishos HaRabim as well, but people don't usually loiter in Rishos HaRabim for any amount of time. Therefore, neither one is muchzik in it, because it's not in the Rishos of either one of them at the time. Well, the Gemara asks, Okay, well, we have a different chazaka. You have the chazaka that he was the original owner of this baby while it was in the womb. So in that case, then, we should say that the cheskas morakama is strong enough that's considered that he has a chazaka. And again, we should say hamotzi mechavel avaraya. So the Achronim discuss the halacha theory behind it. When we talk about cheskas morakama, is that considered... are we saying that we continue with the original chazaka? We call elsewhere in the Gemara, we call this kind of thing chazaka de meikra. You have, for example, a chazaka about a certain woman that she was an eshes ish, then that chazaka remains, and we say that we continue to say that she's an eshes ish unless we have strong reason to say that she's not. So cheskas morakama could be like that. Cheskas morakama could be more just like we're saying over here in the Gemara, that they're a muchzak. Whatever the case, the point is we should say that. And will have it hamotzi mechavel avaraya. So the answer is no. Hamani sumchosi, because our Mishnah, actually, whether the Gemara says no or not is a machlokas rishonim. So we'll get to that in a minute. The gears that we have in front of us in the Gemara is that the answer is in our case we're not applying hamotzi mechavel avaraya because our Mishnah hamani sumchosi, because our Mishnah goes like sumchos to a moment on multiple sofik chokin below shavua. He says when you have a sofik about money, and then we divide it without a shvuah, he doesn't hold. He's saying that even when you have a cheskas marakama, then still we say hamotzi mechavel avaraya. Now you have different gusois over here. Tosfos starts by pointing out, Tosfos brings from the Rashbam, that if the Gemara had said ella halmani sumchosi, then we would say that the Gemara is going back. Gemara is retracting from its original answer that we're talking about that the animal is standing in the meadow or the shifcha in a simta. So we would say that, in other words, so sumchos is only talking about when, so in other words, sumchos would agree when one of them has it in his possession, one of them has it in his barn or his house or whatever, then we would say amotzi mechavel avaraya, and it's only in this case because it's not in the chazaka, it's not actually right now on the property of either one of them, and all we have is cheskas morakama, then sumchos would hold that's not a strong enough reason to say that one of them should be more muxik than the other. And then Tosfos goes on and discusses that point discusses various angles on that point. There are in fact rishonim who have the girsa. So we're saying that sumchos says that momen amoto besafik chokin. Sumchos says when you have a suffix who something belongs to, then we divide it. Now Tosfos is saying, based on the flow of the Gemara over here, without the word ella, as we have it right here in front of us in the Gemara, then it means the Gemara is still accepting the previous answer that we're talking about that the eved or the shifcha, that the shifcha or the cow are located in neutral ground in a place that doesn't belong to the moicher or to the seller or to the buyer. So therefore, so all you have is cheskas marakama, all you have is the chazaka that this baby in the womb belonged to the moicher beforehand, and sumchos holds that's not a strong enough reason to consider him the moicher. But if it had
What's
been...
What's the cheskas marakama?
Cheskas marakama means the chazaka of the original owner. Meaning, in other words, here, Reuven originally owned this cow. There's no question about that. And while he owned that cow, he definitely also owned the baby that was inside the womb of it. Now the question is, now that he traded that cow for Shimon's donkey, we know that the cow has given birth, did it do it before or after the chalifin took effect? That's the argument between Reuven and Shimon over here. So what Tosfos is saying is, if the cow had been in Reuven's barn at the time when this happened, then we wouldn't say Yachloiku in the Mishnah. Then we would say Reuven is considered to be the muchzik in this animal because by virtue of being in his chotzer, and therefore, if Shimon wants to say that he should get the animal that it was born before the chalif, that it was born after the chalifin, and therefore, when he did the chalifin, the animal was still pregnant, and now the baby belongs to him, he'd have to bring a proof. Tosfos is saying Sumchus. The Gemara is assuming that Sumchus would agree with that concept. All it is when we don't have that muchzak, when we don't have that it's in one or the other's rishus. So right now the cow is in a meadow and they gave birth, and now we don't know whether it was before or after the chalifin. All we have then is the only chazaka we can talk about is chezkas mora kama, the chazaka that the original owner, that Reuven, while the animal was his, the mother animal was his, and automatically the baby animal was his as well. And does that situation still obtain now, or have things changed? The Gemara is saying, point to Tosfos, that Sumchus would hold that no, Cheskas Marakama is not a strong enough chazaka to override Shimon's claim that it happened, that the animal gave birth after the chalifin, and therefore the result would be Yachloik. Now, other Rishonim disagree.
Basically, they argue on the respective strengths of each chazaka.
You have two different kinds of chazaka that come into play over here. You have the chazaka of whose reshus it's in, where Tosfos is saying Sumchus would agree that that's a strong chazaka, versus the chazkas marakama, which Sumchus would hold as a weaker chazaka. The difference being, because when you're talking about whose reshus the animal is in, the fact is afterwards, when the sale is done, the animal is still in Reuven's reshus. Shimon is going to have to pick it up from there and take it back to his reshus. As opposed to Cheskas Marakama, that's the very thing under discussion over here. Is it still belonging to Reuven, or does it already belong to Shimon because the chalifin went through? That itself is the inherent suffix over here, and therefore Sumchus would say that they would say Yachloik. Now, what I was going to say is that there are other Rishonim who do have the Girsa over here with the word Ella, which Tosfos is saying we don't have. And according to them, then it would mean that the Gemara is in fact saying that the Gemara is undoing the answer before. It doesn't even have to be that the animal is standing in a meadow, and even the chazaka of whose reshus it's in is not enough according to Sumchus to say I'm motzi mechaver l'varaya, and therefore we would say yachloiku. So in other words, according to the Rashba and the Ran, the vote would be that even if we're talking about the animal was in Reuven's barn at the time, and then the chalifin took place, and now the animal has given birth, and we don't know whether it was before or after the chalifin, now the Gemara is saying, according to Sumchus, even then we would say Yachloiku rather than Hamotzi Mechavei Lavara.
What do we say the longest chazaka prevails?
Well, how would the longest chazaka? Well, that's Cheskos Marakama, essentially. That's the chazaka that the original owner owned it. So now, according to the Chachamim, who disagree with Sumchus, that's good enough. According to Tosfos, it's not. Because the fact it's not a matter of question of how long the chazaka is. It's a question of Cheskos Marakama is just that. This animal is known to have belonged to me at some point. Therefore, I should continue to be muchzik in it. So the Chachamim hold, yes, that's a valid point. And therefore, Hamotzi Mechaver L'Varaya, you, Shimon, want to say that this animal doesn't, that the baby doesn't belong to Reuven, then he'd need to bring a proof for it. According to Sumchus, we're saying Cheskas Marakama is not strong enough to establish it as Reuven's. Doesn't matter how long the Chazaka is. Because we have, it's called a reyesa. There's now a weakness in that Chazaka, namely that ultimately we know at some point there was a chalifin. So now the question was, we know at some point the mother animal got transferred to Shimon's ownership. The question is, was it before or after the birth?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so Tosfos goes on to ask then, in that case, isn't there a chazaka that the animal was pregnant, and therefore, And therefore we should assume that it was pregnant for as long as possible until after the chalifin took place. And Tosfos discusses, so Tosfos just says, without elaborating, that the chazaka of Morakama is stronger than the chazaka of Moberas. And there are a number of explanations among Achronim what that means. One is a chazaka of Mamon, and the other one is a chazaka, and the other one is a chazaka of the status of the thing. Another one is because the Cheskas Moberes has an even greater weakness, because now we see it's not pregnant anymore. So in any case, the point is, so again, according to Tosfos, within the two types of chazaka that the Gemara is dealing with so far, the chazaka of whose reshus it's in, and the chazaka of Marakama, of whom it belonged to originally, Sumchus would say the first one is strong enough to say Hamotz Machavel Araya. The second one is not, and therefore we would say Yachloku. And according to the Rashba and the Ran, both of them, the Gemara is saying now, according to Sumchus, we would say are enough to say Yachloku, and neither one is strong enough chazaka for Ruven to be able to keep the baby animal. Well, the Gemara asks, the problem with that is Emer de Omer Sumchus b'shema v'shema. The problem with that is that Sumchus's din, where he says Maman Amoto b'safet chokin, is talking about where you have a shema versus a shema. For example, you have the case in Bava Kamma of Shosh and Nogachas Apara. You have the case where an ox gored a cow, and afterwards, now you find a dead baby next to the cow, and the question is, did the animal give birth before the attack, and therefore it was just a stillbirth, and therefore the owner of the shur is not responsible for the injuries to the baby? Or do we say that no, it miscarried because of the attack, and therefore the owner of the shur is chayev for the injuries to the baby as well? So Sumchus says there, that's an example of Momen Amoto B'Safet Chalkin, but there it's Shema V'Shema. Neither one knows whether it gave birth before or after the attack. But the body of body me, Omar, does. Would Sumchus say the same thing when it comes to a body versus a body claim, where here each one is saying it was definitely before the chalifin, or it was definitely after the chalifin? Would Sumchus in fact say then that even then we would say Maman Amoto B'Safa Tholkin? So the Gemara says, yeah, Omar Rabbi Baravuna Ein, Omar Sumchus, I feel a body. Yes, Sumchus would say his din even by body or body. Even then, Sumchus would say that Momen Amoto B'Safet Chokin, unless, again, according to Tosfos, maybe only if we have a strong chazaka against it, such as a chazaka of whose reshus it's in, and according to the Rashba and the Ran, maybe not even then. That's one answer. Rava Amar La'olam Ki Amar Sumchus Shema V'Shema. Rava says, no, you could say that Sumchus's din, in fact, applies only by Shema V'Shema. Avo Bori Ubori Loyomar. But he doesn't say that by Bori Ubori. But in our Mishnah, Tony, Ze'om Shema Ad Shlema Chati V'Ze'om Shema Mishalakati. In our Mishnah, you have Reuven is saying it was before I sold it, and therefore I keep the baby. Shimon is saying it was after I bought it, and therefore I get to keep the baby. The Pashtus, we would understand the Mishnah that each one is making a tainus bori. Each one says he knows for a fact that it's so. But now Rava is saying it doesn't have to be. We could also understand the Mishnah that each one is saying I'm not sure. It could be that it was before, or it could be it was after, as the case may be. That's Shema V'Shema. And of course, Sumchus says by Shema V'Shema, then we would say that Yachlo. So in other words, it would still be called a suffix because whether it's bori or bori, shema v'shema, either way, it's a suffix for the dayanim. It's called what Tosfos calls, what the Gemara calls, drora de mamoina, that there's an inherent suffix over here. So the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see whether it fits better with what Rabbi Bar Avuna is saying or how Rava is explaining it. The Mishnah had said, Ze Oma Eni Yadea, Ze Oma Eni Yadea. We said in the Sefer of the Mishnah, where we have two fields or two avodim, and and we went through four possible cases. One of them is where each one says, I don't know. I don't know whether I sold you the big one or the small one. I don't know whether I bought the bigger one or the smaller one. So the Mishnah had said, Yachlok. Now, Bishlema the Rava. So according to Rava, it's easy to understand. Midas Sefer, Shema Vashema, Resha Nami Shema Vashema. So the Mishnah is telling us cases of Shema V'Shema, and that in both cases, Yachloiku, whether we're talking about the birth of a baby or whether we're talking about the sale of a large or small field. Either one, then the Mishnah is telling us that when there's a Shema V'Shema claim, then Yachloiku. And the reason, and the Ritva explains that, okay, in that case, why would we need two dinim in the Mishnah is because the second one clarifies the first one for us and helps us understand that the first one is also talking about Shema v'Shema, the way Rava understands it. So therefore, so according to Rava, then the Mishnah goes very smoothly. Elo, the Rava Bar Rav Huna, the Amar Ein, Omar Sumchus, Afilo Bori Ubori. But if you say that Sumchus says, even when they're claiming Bori versus Bori, and in the ratio of the Mishnah, each one is making a Tainas Bori, and still he says, Omar Yachoyku, So even with bori or bori, so you have to ask hashta bori or bori om yachloku shema v'shema m'boya. So why would the Mishnah even need to tell us the case of shema v'shema later on in the case of the large or the small field or eved? Once we know already from the Resha that even by bori or bori, Sumchus would say yachloku, which is how Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is explaining it, all the more so when each one is claiming shema.
What's the difference between Shema the Shema and Bari the Bari?
Bari or Bari. Bari means certain. Shema means doubtful. Bari or Bari means each one is saying a certain claim. I am certain that this animal gave birth before I sold it. I am certain that it gave birth after I sold it. Versus Shema v'Shema is where one is saying, I don't know. I don't know if it gave birth before or after the Chalifin. I don't know. And the other one is also saying the same thing. So now, we know that in Bava Kamma, where it's Shema v'Shema, Sumchus says Yachloku. The question is, now in Or Gemara, is he saying the same thing? By Bori or Bori, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna is saying yes, Rava is saying no. So that's the question. According to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, if Sumchus is saying, even by Bori or Bori, in the ratio of our Mishnah, he says Yachloku, Shema v'Shema Mimboya, would you need to tell us that he says the same thing by Shema v'Shema, where there's even more of an inherent suffix? So the answer is, Imishum Holo Iriya, that's not really such a strong question. Tona Sefer L'Galuya Resha. You could say that the Sefer of our Mishnah is also coming, like just like the Ritva had said, according to Rava. So the Gemara is saying, according to Rabbi Bar Rav Huna, the Sefer is coming to clarify the Resha. Shaloi Toma Resha Shema V'Shema. You shouldn't mistakenly think that in the Resha, we're talking only by Shema V'Shema, is then Yachloku, our Bori or Bori Loi, but not if it's Bori versus Bori. Tona Sefer, therefore the Sefer says that in a case of Shema v'Shema Miklal the Resha Bori Bori, the opposite. Rava had said that the Sefer is Shema v'Shema, and that tells us that the Resha is also Shema v'Shema. Rabbi Bar Rav Huna says the other way around. The Sefer is talking about Shema v'Shema, and therefore necessarily the Resha must be talking about Bori Bori, v'afilo hochi yachloku, and even so they divide. In other words, it actually says, Rabbi Bar Rav Huna would say, if the Resha and the Sefer were both talking about Shema v'Shema, then one of them would be unnecessary, one of them would be superfluous. Now, the Ritva says, Rava would say it's not, because it's, as the Gemara is saying over here, Tona Sefer, the Galuya Resha, it has to say in the Sefer, Shema v'Shema, to clarify for us that the Resha is also Shema v'Shema. But Rabbi Bar Rav Huna doesn't like that, and therefore he says, that if one of them is talking about Shema v'Shema, necessarily the other must be talking about Bori or Bori, and still we're saying that Sumchus would say Yachloku. Okay, the Gemara says Tnan. Let's look in the continuation of our Mishnah. Zer Omer Godol v'Zer Omer Katan, where you have again the argument about the large versus the small field or Eved. So we said, when there's Bori or Bori, Zer'im a Godol v'Zer'im a Katan, the one says, I bought the big one, the other one says, I sold the small one. And there we have, again, in the Sefer of the Mishnah, we had four possibilities, and one of them, and we went through, where one says Bori and the other one says Shema, or the other way around, and the third case we had was both of them said Bori. And the Mishnah had said, Yeshava ha-mercher, that we said that the mercher has to sell shekotan mocher, that he sold the smaller one, and then the koiner gets the smaller one. Now, b'shlema the rova da'amaki yama sumchus, shema v'shema avo bori or bori lo, you're going to sumchus who says that we say this din, that we say yachloku, only when it's shema v'shema, only when each one of them is making a doubtful claim, but bori or bori, we wouldn't say that. Instead, he wouldn't say Yachloiku. Instead, we would follow other rules in that. Well, then, Mishum Hochi, Yeshava. That explains why he has to swear. And then once he swears, then he's potter from giving the large eb, or the large field. Elo the Rabbi Bar Rav Huna de Amar Ein Amar Sumchus Afilu Bori Bori. But according to But according to Rav Bar Rav Huna, that Sunchos says even by Bori or Bori Yachloihu, Amai Yishav HaMoicher, why in that case would we say that the Moicher swears Yachloihu Bori Lai? According to what Sunchos is saying, if according to Rav Bar Rav Huna, Sunchos holds even Bori or Bori, then Yachloihu, then the third case of the third scenario in the sefer of our Mishnah where one says Bori and the other one says Bori, we ought to say Yachloihu, not Yishav. So the answer is the Gemara says modus sumchus hecha de ikka shvur daraisa. The answer is sumchus would agree that we don't say choken, we don't say they divide it 50-50 in a case where he has to take a shvur min haTorah. Now here we're talking about where there's going to be a shvur min haTorah because he's modu b'miktas, because after all he's saying that I sold you, that I did sell you something, just that it was a smaller one. Now the Gemara is going to ask soon that that's not modu b'miktas, but right now we're saying that on the face of it that we're talking about modu b'miktas, and therefore so now could you be in the name of the kamon, as the Gemara is going to explain soon how that works, how we have modu b'miktas over here. So therefore Sumchus is going to say that in that case we do in fact have to once there's a shavur daraisa involved, then we're going to say he has to take a shavur daraisa, and once he does, then we're not going to say yachloiku, then he's completely potter. The point being, in other words, the Ravid makes a point that once you make him swear, we're not going to make him then pay the as well. If he swears that he sold only the cotton, then in fact he would he would swear and then he gives the cotton. We're not going to additionally say yachloiku the value of the big one. The Ramban actually learns that he would swear that he sold him the cotton, then he's potter entirely from the gadol, and we're not going to say hamotz b'chaver, and we're not going to say multiple suffet choken about any part of the big one. So in other words, in short, the Mishnah can be made to work according to either Rava or Rabba Barav. There is also discussion over here about what about in the other cases of the Mishnah. We had the case where the buyer says, I definitely bought the bigger one. The other one says, any yedeya. So we're saying he gets the bigger field on the face of it because bori v'shema, bori odif, but that's not the halacha. In fact, would be that we don't just say that bori always overrides shema. So the Ravid talks about, because where there's chazaka involved over here there's only chetzkos marakama, so maybe therefore bori would override the shema. And then the Ramban disagrees with that and says that even with cheskos morakama, we still don't say that a bori can override that. And then there's other points as well that as the Gemara is saying over here, there's modi b'miktas, and therefore that's different. The Mishnah had said, "Hoyle shnei avodim echad gadol ve'echad katan." We said the case where there's two avodim or two fields, one larger and one smaller, and there's an argument between them which one he sold. So the Gemara asked, "Amai yishava?" Now we're saying that he swears that I sold the larger one, and I sold the smaller one rather. The question is, "Amai yishava?" Why is he having to swear? There's a number of reasons why he shouldn't have to swear. So in fact, Hagois Hagra points out over here, and again, this relates to this machloikas of the Ravid and the Ramban, that the Gemara could have asked, even on the earlier part of the Mishnah, why when the Lakeach says, I bought the big one, and the Moichu says, I'm not sure, I may have sold you only the small one. We said now the buyer is entitled to the big one. So there's no shvur daraisa involved over here because we're talking about things of karka. There's no modu b'miktas over here because he's saying shema, and there's no shvur daraisa over here because the other guy's claiming shema. So why would we say according to Sumchus, why wouldn't we say yachloik? And then Agoris Hagro discusses briefly why indeed the Gemara didn't ask that on that part, why it's only asking on the part yishava. Anyway. So, Amai Yishova, first of all, the question is, why should he swear? Masha Tarnay Lo Hodolo, Masha Hodolo Lo Tarnay. First of all, this is a case which the Gemara elsewhere calls Tarnay B'chitim B'hodolo B'sodim. We touched on it the other day. If Reuven comes to Shimon and says, you owe me, for whatever reason, that you owe me a bushel of wheat, and Shimon says, no, I only owe you a bushel of barley, then that's called tane chitim behoidele besodim. He's claiming wheat. The other guy is counterclaiming, no, I only owe you barley. That's not considered modim mitzvahs, even though barley is worth less than wheat, because they're arguing about two different things. What Reuven claims, Shimon is denying completely. What Shimon is saying, I owe you, Reuven hasn't even asked for. So that's not considered modim mitzvahs. So there's no shavua. The second question is that isn't it a case of heilach, because he's saying that I sold you the small one, and here it's ready for you to take. And we learned previously all the way at the beginning of the Masechta, we learned previously in our Perek that when it comes to heilach, the halacha is we don't say that's not called modim mitzas, because we say modim mitzas would be when he says you owe me 100, the other one says I only owe you 50, but I don't have it right now. Here we're saying I have it right now and take it, then that's not considered modim mitzas. So that's another reason there shouldn't be a shvua. And va'oid ein nishvoin al avadim. And a third problem is, anyway, you don't swear on claims involving avadim, because avadim are compared to karka, and the concept of swearing on a claim only applies to metaltlin and doesn't apply to karka. So for all those reasons, now Rashi points out that for all those reasons, there shouldn't have to be a shavua over here. Why are we saying that? Why are we saying there's a shavua? So Omar Rav, Rav says what we mean is betonet dummy. The case is he's not claiming the actual eved or the actual field itself. He's claiming the value of it. He's saying that so Rashi explains that it means we're talking about a shliach over here. I gave you X amount of money to buy me an eved. You didn't buy the eved, so therefore I want my money back. So dmei eved gadol, dmei eved katan, dmei sadek dola, dmei sadek tam. That's how Rav learns that we're not talking about the actual object itself. So therefore, that answers all our questions. It is metalklin. It's not the eved. It's not halach, because he's not saying here is the money back right now. If I care, the other guy has to sue him and based in for it. And it's not mashatana lo hodolo mashahodolo lo tana. All it is, in other words, he's saying I gave you money to buy a large eved, and instead you bought me a small eved, and therefore and therefore I want the rest of the money back. That's according to Rashi. So we're talking about that we're shliach and a mishaleach. But then Tosfos asked, the fact is, our Mishnah mentions a lekeach and a moicher, not a shliach and a mishaleach. So rather, Tosfos says we're talking about that he sold him an eved, he paid him the money, but they didn't yet write the shtar. And we're talking about a place where until the shtar is written, the sale is not final. So now he's arguing which one we're writing the shtar on. Or even the shtar was written and they could still retract until the shtar is delivered. So for those reasons, we would say there can be a shavua involved over here. Because again, they're not arguing about the eved itself; they're arguing about the money. Ushmulam of a tonic sus eved gadol sus eved katan omre sodik dola omre sodik tana. Shmuel says, no, we're not talking about the argument is not about the eved itself or the field itself, and it's not about the value of the eved or the field. Rather, the argument is about the clothing of a large eved or a small eved or the bundles of grain of a large field or a small field. In other words, the Mishnah didn't say anything about domim. So Shmuel was saying that he's arguing about the ksus, and what we mean is, in other words, he's arguing that I bought an eved with the clothing on him, and now they're arguing which eved it is, and therefore now there is metalklin involved because the clothing is metalklin, and therefore you can be swearing on that, and therefore that explains why the Mishnah is saying yeshava, because we're not talking about just the eved, we're talking about the clothes as well, the metalklin. So the Gemara asks, if we assume that it means, actually right now the Gemara is assuming that when Shmuel says ksus eved gadol, ksus eved katan, we mean only the clothing, not the eved itself. So in other words, the argument would be the lekeach is saying, I bought from you a suit of clothing that would fit a large eved. And the other one is saying, no, I sold you a suit of clothing that would only fit a small eved. Well, the Gemara asks again, sus masha tane lo hodeloi or masha hodeloi lo tane. Again, you have the same problem of tane chitim lo hodeloi besodim, because one is saying that you sold me an adult size chain, an adult size clothing, and the other one say, and the other one saying, no, I only sold you child size clothing. So Tosfos points out, when it comes to the Gemara is not asking about the bundles of grain in the field, because that's easier to understand. If he says that I sold you, if he says, for example, that you sold me the number of bundles that you could expect to get out of a large field, which is 40, and the other one says, no, I sold you only what you could expect to get out of a small field, which is 20, then that's classic modu mitzas. They're both arguing about the same kind of thing, and just one is saying a larger amount or a smaller amount. But clothing is different. It's not like the larger person's clothing includes the smaller ones in it. They're two different things. So again, it's tanim with chitim b'hodu lo b'sodim. So the answer is kid amar a papa b'diyalfi, just as Rav Papa explains in a few lines down in the Gemara, that we're talking about where they're connected. B'diyalfi, actually, I go sabach, change it. It's supposed to be b'dilaifi. The word laif in Aramaic means to be folded over or connected. So Rashi explains that what we mean is, he's saying that, so we are talking about it, so it's one large attached piece of clothing. When you want a smaller piece of clothing out of it, you cut out of it the larger, you cut out of it the smaller piece that you want. So in fact, we are talking about that it is the same kind of thing, because he's saying that you sold me X amount of cloth, and the other one is saying that you sold me a smaller amount of that, which is attached to the larger piece, and from which I would cut out a piece for the smaller one. And then there are different explanations among Rishonim about different variations of what this life could mean, including that you have, for example, for example, you have the clothing is in fact you might have that's it's sewn together in various places, and then to make it larger or smaller, you would add on pieces or you would take off pieces that are sewn onto it, as the case may be. But the point is, it's all attached, and therefore it really is modu mitzvahs. Okay, so the Gemara says kashle that aposhia midik sus katoni. After all, though, does the Mishnah say anything about that they're arguing about clothing? Eved katoni, the Mishnah is saying they're arguing about an eved. So how can you say that instead the argument is about the clothing that would fit the eved? So Ella Amar Rav Hoshea Kigoin Shatane Eved Biksuse V'Sada Ba'Omrecha. So the case is, we're talking about, it's not just that he's saying you sold me the clothing that would fit a large eved, or I sold you the clothing that would fit a small eved. We're saying that he's claiming I bought a large eved with the clothes on him, and the other one's saying no, I only sold you a small eved with the clothing on him. So the question is, Vakati, but even so, Ksus, Mashatane Lohodeloy, Mashahodeloy Lotane. Still, as far as the clothing, then don't you still have the same problem that it's two different kinds of things? A large and a small outfit are two completely different things. Here's where Rav Papa originally said Bidi Yalfi or Bidi Lifey, as the Hagos Hagbach makes it, that we're talking about where it's attached together. We're talking about it's a large piece of cloth from which you would cut out a piece for the smaller one, or we're talking about a large piece of clothing from which you would add pieces to alter the size of it, and therefore it is in fact the same thing, and it's not chitim and sodim, it's actually the same piece of clothing, whether he sold them the larger amount or the smaller amount. Okay, well, the question with that is then, in that case, Rav Sheshes has a question with that. So in that case, what are you talking about? Fine. So you're saying in the case of clothing, it is modu b'mitzas, because we're talking about the same piece of clothing which could be larger for an adult and smaller for a child. So therefore, it's not tarnichit mahod lebesurin, it is modu b'mitzas. So what are you telling me? The Mishnah wants to inform you, according to Shmuel, that because there's an argument about the clothing, and you have to swear about clothing, because metalplin, therefore, along with it, you're swearing about avadim, that's called zoikikin. That's called that it drags along with it. So zoikikin osalashmin. And is the Mishnah just coming to tell us the concept of zoikikin, that when you have to have a shvua on metalplin, then automatically, even though normally you don't swear on karka, but when you're already swearing on metalplin, then you do need to, uh, then then you do need to swear on Kauka as well. Now, we did learn before that, a few days ago, about the concept of Gilgul Shvua, but Tosfos says, fine, the point is, there the Chiddush was that you can be Megalgul Shvua, even something that's not really directly related. But here, we're saying that it is directly related. The clothing and the Eved are very closely related. He's saying, I bought the Eved with the clothing. And he's, and the other one's saying, I sold you a smaller Eved without clothing. So I sold you a smaller Eved with the clothing, rather. So therefore, so all the Mishnah would be telling us, according to Rav Hoshea's explanation, is that Zerkakin, that once he's having to swear on the clothing, then automatically that brings along to swear on the Eved as well. The question is, Tanena, we learn that clearly in a Mishnah elsewhere. Zerkikin and Nechosim She'en Lein Achrayus, Nechosim She'en Lein Achrayus, which is Metalplin, are Zerkikin, they bring along, it's a Nechosim She'esh Lein Achrayus, Nechosim that do have Achrayus, namely Karka, L'Yishova Aleihem, to swear on them, even though you don't swear on claims involving Karka, which the Gemara elsewhere learns from Sukkim, but when there's Zerkikin, when already you're having to swear on Metalplin, then along with that, by Gilgul Shvur, you can also be swearing about the Karka. Well, the same thing over here. If you're having to swear about the clothing, then automatically the Eved goes along with it. And why should, and when, then what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah then in that case? Ela Omer of Meir, Ela Omer of Sheshes, Homani of Meir. Rather, if Sheshes says, you would have to say that our Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, where we're going to learn a braisa soon, that the Omer Avdek Metalplin Dummy, Reb Meir holds that for certain purposes, an Eved is considered like Metalplin. So the mayor agrees, Tosfos points out, that there definitely are things in which an Eved is considered like Karka, namely that you can buy it with Kesef, unlike, for example, a cow where you need Mashicha or Chalifin or something like that. But when it comes to this particular din of not swearing about a claim involving Avodim, the mayor holds you would, in fact. Well, then, now we don't need to say, so now it's not a matter of Zerkikin anymore. The argument is, about the Eved, and you would have to swear on an Eved. The only problem is that a big Eved and a small Eved are two different things, and therefore it's Tanei Chittim, Vahoydolei Besodim, which is why Shmuel would have to say that we're talking about where they're arguing about the clothing. So in other words, there are two different claims between them, one involving Modu Mitzas, namely the clothing, and one not, namely the Avodim, and therefore he's swearing on the Modu Mitzas, and along with it is going the Avodim, not because of Zoykikin, there's no Chiddush in that, but the point is, in other words, the Mishnah still is talking about where they're arguing for the fundamental argument is about the clothing, and there is Modu Mitzas. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara asks about Kati Mashatane Lehodeloy Mashahodeloy Loitane. Still, though, the argument between them is as far as the Eved, and maybe the clothing is even bottled to the Eved. So, and therefore, again, they're claiming about two different things. The answer is Sovel Akram Gamliel, because the Tana of our Mishnah, besides that he holds like Reb Meir, that you can swear on Avodim, he may also hold like Reb Gamliel, that in fact, the Tani Chitim, Vahodele Besodim, the Tanan, Tani Chitim, Vahodele Besodim, Potter, Reb Gamliel Machayev, where the Mishnah in Shavuos tells us that in fact, where there's a case of Chitim versus Sodim, then the Tanakama says he's be Potter from swearing, but Reb Gamliel would be Machayev. Very well, then, in our case of our Mishnah, even though we could say we don't even need the answer of our Papa before, but the Yalfi, that clothing is larger, can be made larger and smaller as necessary. We're talking about that they're arguing over a large Eved or a small Eved, which are two completely different things, and a large suit of clothing and a small suit, which are also two completely different things. And nevertheless, Rav Shimon Gamliel says you would have to swear in such cases, it is considered Modu Mitzas. And then when in addition, we say that he's holding like Reb Meir, who would say that you do swear on Avodim, then that would explain the dinim of our Mishnah. Okay, the question is, Akati Halachu. The problem is that we have another issue over here. Then in that case, it's Halach, because he's saying that here, I sold you the small Eved, and here he is. And again, as we said before, that Halach, we say, is not considered Modu Mitzas. Rav Sheshes himself had said that at the beginning of the Masechta. So the answer is Amar Rava Avda Tekata LeYodeh. The answer is that in the case of the Eved, it's not Halach, because the case is that the hand of the Eved was cut off. So now, in other words, to begin with, the question was, did I sell you the larger or the smaller Eved? But now, in addition, he's saying that the Eved Cotton, the one that he's saying I sold to you, is now missing a hand or has some other kind of irrevocable damage to him. So therefore, so now it's not considered halach anymore, because he would still have to, he'd still have to reimburse him for the extra amount. Even if he's saying, I sold you the eved as a katan, but at the time he had a hand, he would have been worth as a katan with a hand, with two good hands, he would have been worth 100. Now with only one good hand, he's worth only 70. So therefore, anyway, you'd have to reimburse him for the 30, and he's not offering the 30 right now. So that's not halach. Similarly, Sode, in the case of a field, we're not talking about he's saying, I sold you the small field and here you can take it right now. We're talking about that in between, he dug various pits and wells in it and therefore ruined it. So now he's saying, yes, I sold you the small field, but it's not halach because again, he would have to reimburse him for the extra amount. So there's no halach involved. In fact, Rashi pointed out on Amud Aleph as well, that when we were discussing the whole matter of Sumchus, that there also, now Sumchus also holds like his Rebbe, Reb Meir, that Nishiborin ala Avodim, and as the Gemara is saying over here, he would also hold like Reb Gamliel, that Tarnichitim behodele besodim. So therefore, that would be, the Gemara had said before, that according to Rav Bar Avuna, there's a case where it's a Shvur Daraisa. That's what we mean. There's a Shvur Daraisa because, again, in order for Rav Bar Avuna's understanding of our Mishnah to make it work according to Sumchus, would require that we're saying all these details that we're saying over here, that the Mishnah holds like Reb Meir, that Sumchus holds like Reb Meir, which is natural enough because Sumchus was Reb Meir's Talmud, and that he also holds like Reb Gamliel, and that we're talking about there's no halach because he cut off his hand, we dug both. So there would in fact be a shavur, but the Gemara asks about a mayor. What do you mean that we're saying that according to the mayor we would say that that you do swear on cases involving avodim? We find that a mayor says exactly the opposite. Ditznan, we learned in a Mishnah in Baba Kama, gozel avodim gozel. Gozel behemoth v'izkinu, if a person stole an animal and it became old and now it's worth less, avodim v'izkinu, or he stole avodim and they got old, mishalim kashas akzela, then he pays according to how much it was worth at the time when it was stolen. Rameo says by avodim, he just returns the eved as it is now and says, Hare shalach lefanecha, you take it and you keep it as it is. Because Rameo holds that just like with karka, it's impossible to steal karka, wherever it is, it's still, even if you physically took it over, it's still considered in the reshus of the original owner. Well, an eved would be considered like karka. Therefore, it's considered that all along it was in the possession of the owner, and therefore, when the eved depreciated in value by becoming old, we don't say it was in the possession of the gazlan. We would say it was still considered all the time in the possession of the nigzal. So we see Rameo
says. It doesn't make any sense.
No, so that we learned about this in Baba Kama. No, according to the mayor, because in many places avodim are compared to karka, therefore in this also, even though of course the difference is karka can't be moved and avodim can, nevertheless, the mayor says with a behema, yes, when a person steals a behema, it becomes in his reshus, and now when it becomes old, then it's becoming old in his reshus, and therefore he has to pay according to its original value. But the mayor is saying by avodim, it's not so.
But one second, karka doesn't age. Avadim age. How can you say that
age,
one is the same as another?
No, karka ages also. You can have, for example, where you stole karka and depreciated in value by being flooded or whatever. Yeah,
karka doesn't depreciate in value. What are you talking about?
It can over time. There can be changes. There can be changes.
Where did you get that from?
Okay, listen a second. Imagine, for example, that the field was flooded by seawater, for example. It's going to take years until it comes back to its original
fertility. That's different. That's different.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
No, you're talking about depreciation. No, that's very different. There's damage. I'm not talking about that. That's true,
doesn't
but
matter.
That doesn't mean...
It doesn't really matter for our purposes.
It doesn't
the
matter.
Point is, the point is that he stole something that's worth X amount, and now it's worth less. So regardless why it is, with karka, he can say Harei Shalach Lefanecha, and Rameo holds the same thing applies to Avodim.
Very different.
Okay,
Avodim that can compare.
I hear what you're
saying,
but nonetheless, that's how it is. The fact is, Rameo is saying anything where we can say it's in the possession of the original owner, then he can say Harei Shalach Lefanecha. That is true of karka. Rameo holds it applies to Avodim as well. So again,
what is Rav Meir's reason?
What?
What is Rav Meir's reason to say that?
Because he says Avodim are compared to Karka in many places in the Torah.
So what's
many
the reason?
Because the Torah tells us that in Parshas Behar, it says v'isnachalta moisim levnechem l'reshas achuza, and therefore it's comparing Avodim to Karka. We have many dinim that come from that. For that reason, according to the Chachamim, against Rav Meir, you don't swear on a claim involving Avodim, just like you don't swear on a claim involving Karka. For that reason, the ways of buying Avodim are similar to the ways of buying Karka, and Tosfos says even Rav Meir would agree with that. There's a bunch of dinim we learned earlier in our Masechta. Oino doesn't apply to Avodim, just like it doesn't apply to Karka. There's a bunch of dinim that don't apply to Avodim because they don't apply to Karka. So here, Rav Meir is saying, one of them is this Harei Shalach Lefanecha business. So the Gemara says, let's continue. Holei Kasha, that's not really such a question because we could say Kidemachle Rav Bar Avor Batani, because we could flip around the opinions like the way Rav Bar Avor learns the Mishnah. Rav Meir Omer Mishalim Kishas Agzela Vacham Omer Lei Ba'Avodim Harei Shalach Lefanecha. That's the other way around. Rav Meir would say that the Eved is not considered in the owner's Rishus, and therefore that if it depreciated in value because of old age, he would have to pay the full amount. And the Chachamim are saying by Avodim you can say Harei Shalach Lefanecha because it was considered to be in the Rishus of the owner the whole time. So therefore, Rav Meir would be consistent and say that Avodim are considered like metalglin, which is exactly what Rav Sheshes was trying to say. So we could say then that our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir, meaning the altered version of what Rav Meir says. Okay, still the question is, the Gemara says, Ella, but fine. But however, though, you still have a problem. If Rav Sheshes is saying the reason why you're swearing in our Mishnah in the case of an Eved is because Rav Meir, because according to Rav Meir, and Rav Meir holds that you could swear on Avodim, mi mai disavur Rav Meir, makshin and karkala Eved, then how do we know? Now, after all, our Mishnah also mentioned a field, the case where they're arguing about a large field versus a small field. So how do you know Rav Meir would say that we compare karkala Eved and say that Karka and Eved should be the same way in the sense Ma Eved Nishboyin Af Karka Nishboyin, that just like you swear on an Eved, so also you would in fact swear on Karka, and that would be why in On Mishnah there has to be a Shura. Maybe it's the other way around. Duma Eved Hud Nishboyin Avala Karka Loi. Maybe not. Maybe the mayor holds there is a distinction. You would swear on an Eved because he's considered Metalplin, but you wouldn't swear on Karka because Karka is obviously not Metalplin. So we see Tosfos points out you have other cases that the Gemara is going to bring an example soon involving Karka, where we clearly see that there's a difference between Karka and Metalplin and these kinds of things as far as Shavua. So what makes us say that a mayor would equate them? You want to say our Mishnah goes like a mayor? It's fine. That'll explain the Avodim. You still have a problem as far as the Karka, as far as the as far as why is he swearing about the small field versus the big field? So the answer is Loi Sakadaibach. You can't think that way. In fact, Rav Meir would say that there's no distinction. The Tanya, as we learn in the Braisa, a machlif pora b'chamor v'yolda, one person trades a cow for the other one's donkey, and it gave birth, as in our Mishnah, b'chein amurcha shivchose v'yolda, or he sold his shivcha and she gave birth, zer oime b'shusi v'zer shosik. Now you could have the one says it was in my rishus, and the other one is quiet and doesn't answer back. So it's a body versus no claim at all. Zocha. So now the one who says that it was in my reshus is zocha in the baby. So the reason would be because body v'shem a body odif. The reason might be it's not because body odif, but because since he was quiet and shsika koda, and then you know, this also bears on that machloekus of the raivad and the namban that we talked about before. About when you have Bori Vashema, why we would say that his Bori claim is enough is because after all, you have a Chezkas Momon over there, you have a Chazaka that he's actually in possession of it right now. So on the other hand, Ze'omi any idea, Ze'omi any idea. And if each one of them is saying, I don't know, Yachloiku, then they divide it, like we said in the Mishnah, Ze'omi Birshusi, Ze'omi Birshusi. And if each one makes a body claim and says it was in my Rishus, when it happened, Yishavah Moicha, Shabirshusa Yolda, then the Moicha would have to swear that it happened in his possession. And that would be a shvua of modiv mitzas. And then, and the reason why would he swear? Why wouldn't we say the other way around? Why shouldn't the buyer swear that he that it wasn't his reshus and he's entitled to the baby? The reason is l'fisha kol shvoin shvat Torah nishvoin v'lo mishalman. Because any time in the Torah when a person is swearing is all in order to swear and not pay. The three cases in the Torah where a person has to swear: modiv mitzas, a shomer, and when there's one aid against him. All of them is to be potter from paying. The concept that you swear in order to collect is only midrabbana. So therefore, so over here, we're going to have him swear a shvur dar daisa in order to be potter from paying. Divrei Rav Meir. The chum say you don't swear on avodim or on karka, and therefore in the case of the shivcha, there wouldn't be any swearing because it's an eved and a shivcha that we're dealing with. Now, Since the Chachamim make the point that you don't swear on Avodim or Kaka, Lav Mikval did a Meir Sovan Ishvoin. Evidently, the Meir holds you do swear on both of them, and that is why the Chachamim have to disagree and say that no, you don't. So therefore, that would show that a Meir holds that you swear on both Kaka and Avodim, and therefore that would explain what we're saying in our mission. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Mimai, how can you say necessarily that that's what the Chachamim are implying? Maybe the Chachamim are not saying, we know that you, the mayor, are disagreeing with us in both cases. Maybe they're just trying to draw a comparison. Just like you agree with us on Kauka, that you don't swear, based on a posik, shouldn't you agree with us on Avodim as well, that Avodim are compared to Kauka? So it may be that both of them do agree you don't swear on Kauka, and in that case, we're back to the question, why in our Mishnah is there a Shavua on a case of Kauka? And Teda, in fact, you can show that even Rav Meir holds you don't swear on claims involving karka. Ditnan, Rav Meir Omer, yesh dvorim shehen kekarka, ve'enin kekarka. Rav Meir says there are certain things which are like the karka in that they're attached to it, but they're not considered like karka as far as the dinim of Shavua. Ve'en chachamim modim lo, and the chachamim hold that even then not, even things attached to the ground are not considered like the karka at all. Ketzad, what do we mean? For example, Esug Fanim Tu'unas Machautiloch, that Reuven says to Shimon, I gave you 10 laden grapevines. I wanted you to watch my land, which has 10 grapevines growing in it that were laden with fruit. And the other one says it wasn't 10 grapevines, it was only 5. So now is he a modiv mitzas or not? Rameir Machayev him to swear is a modiv mitzas because the grapes are metalpin. Either attached to the ground. Rav Meir says, nevertheless, that doesn't matter. They're still considered, they're not considered like karka. The chum say anything attached to the ground is considered like part of the ground. And since you don't swear on karka, then you don't swear on the grapes either.
Anything that's attached at the time or constantly attached?
Yeah, at the time. When he told him to, when he asked him to watch it, it was when it was attached to the ground, right? Furthermore, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina explained that the machlokas is when the grapes are ready to harvest. The marasav kibtsuras damyan, so the mayor holds they're considered as though they're already harvested. Or marasav alav kibtsuras damyan, and the chum holds it's not considered like they're harvested yet. So therefore, the mayor is going to say that they're considered like metalplin already because they're ready to be harvested. Now Tosfos points out, obviously there are going to be cases where each one agrees to the other. They're both going to agree. Of course, the mayor is going to agree that if you pick those grapes on Shabbos, you're going to be chayav. We're not going to say that they're considered as though they're already harvested. And then on the other hand, there are cases where even the chachamim would agree that they are considered like they are harvested for purposes of a baal choy. But the point is, as far as a shvua, Rav Meir is going to hold, since they're ready to be harvested, they're already considered detached from the ground, and the chachamim disagree. But the point is, we see that a mayor says you don't swear on karka because that's what he's saying. The only reason you swear on these vines and these grapes is because they're considered already detached. So it doesn't work to make our Mishnah go like Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, Ela la'olam kidir Rav Hoshia. Rather, we're going to answer that our Mishnah is talking about like Rav Hoshia said before, that we're talking about not that our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir and we have to kvetch ayin and say, what are the cases where you're swearing on an Eved or on Karka or anything like that? No, we go back to Rav Hoshia's answer before that we're talking about they're arguing that you sold me a large Eved with his clothing, and the other one saying, no, I sold you only a small Eved with his clothing, and as far as the field, and the same thing as far as the field, with or without the grain in it. And now the question was, that isn't it, that in that case, then the Chiddush of the Mishnah is only Zoykakid, And what's the chiddush in it? Or to cash aloch zoikakin, you, Reb Sheshes' question about then what's the chiddush? It's to the answer would be we do need to be set. Sakrat chaminim, swiss evid, to evid dummy, omre sadik sadik dummy. You would think the clothing on the evid is maybe bottle to the evid. The bundles of grain in the field are bottle to the field. And therefore, if you're not chayef shvua on the evid or on the field, maybe you don't have to swear at all. Kamash Malon, therefore the Mishnah would tell us that no, the clothing is considered a claim of its own. And once you have that, then Zoikikin, then it drags in that you do swear on the Ebed as well. Because again, even though we're establishing that according to the Chachamim, now we're going to say our Mishnah is like the Chachamim, not like Rameir. You don't swear on cases involving Avodim or Karka, but you do when there's already a Shavua on something else, namely over here, the clothing or the bundles of grain. So that would be who the Mishnah goes like. Now, when we finished off, the Mishnah had said, Ze'emi any yadeh, ve'ze'emi any yadeh yachloiku. We said, if either one says, I don't know what happened, whether hamachlef parah b'chamur, and again, you also have the case where with the hamachlef parah b'chamur, and you also have the case with the gadol and the cotton, the eved or the field, that's the case where each one says, any yadeh, and we said, yachloiku. So the Gemara says, Homani Sumchus. See, again, this would be like Sumchus, Drama Momon on multiple Sopit Chokin, where he says, where there's a Sopit on money, then you divide it. The Gemara asks, Ema Sefer, but then how can you say, actually, we're referring back now to the Mishnah, we're referring back to the Braisa that we quoted before. The Braisa had said, first, there was the case where one says, En Yadeh, and the other says, En Yadeh, Yachloiku, versus where one says, Birushusi, and the other one says, Birushusi. Where there we said he swears. So Ema Sefer, but look at the end of the Braisa. Ze'ema b'shusi, ze'ema b'shusi, yishava ha-moicher, sh'b'rishusi yolda. That the moicher would have to swear that it was in his rishus, and then he'd be potter from giving the big one, he'd just give the small one. The question is, well, Rav Barav Huna, do Oma Ein, Oma Sumchus, I feel like Bori Yubori, and Omer Aleph, Rav Barav Huna had said that Sumchus had said, even by Bori Yubori, Sumchus would say Yachlut. Ama yishava ha-moicher, so in that case, in this Braisa, why would the moicher be swearing? Yachloiku mibayu. Shouldn't it be yachloiku? And the answer is moda sumchus hechadeka shvur daraisa, because sumchus will agree where there is already a shvur daraisa. So we said before, because they're arguing about the clothing of the eved or about the and therefore there's a shvur daraisa involved. And therefore, once he's swearing on that, he's having to swear on the rest of the claim as well, even though it involves Avodim. And as far as the problem of Helach or the Kotel Yoda, and the case would also be that the Eved's hand was chopped off in between, so that now the Eved is, so now he would have to anyway reimburse him for the value of the, even if he says that, even if it is correct that he sold him the small one, he'd still have to reimburse him the extra value that he paid for an intact Eved, and now the guy's not intact. B'chidur Rava, like Rava said earlier on the Amud, and therefore that would be the case where Sumchus, even Sumchus would agree that Yeshava, that you have to swear, because there is in fact a Shavua here anyway on the clothing, and together with it goes the Eved, and there's no hay.
The Eved goes with the clothing. It seems
because in other
more
words,
logical.
Once there's a claim on the clothing, then we're saying that together with it goes, and you're having to swear on the clothing. So therefore, together with it, you swear on the Eved as well. That's Zoikikin that we talked about before.
And who says that?
And we said everybody agrees. Everybody agrees on the concept of Zoikikin. Once there's a Shavua on something of Metalplin, then you can bring into the Shavua as well a claim on Karka or a claim on an Eved, even though by itself that wouldn't be enough to trigger a Shavua.
What's the basis for that? Where do we get that from?
We learned it in Kedushin earlier this year. The Gemara actually learns it from a pasuk.
Which pasuk?
I don't remember now, but the Gemara had explained that that's how. Well, it's basically the concept of Gilgul Shvua.
What?
Actually, I do remember. It's basically the concept of Gilgul Shvua. By a soita, we say that the husband is making her swear that she wasn't Mizana while she's married with him, and then along with it, he can make her swear about other times when she was an Arusa, when she was a Shemeres Yavam, whatever, and then from there we have the concept of Gilgul Shavua. So here, basically, that's what it is. It's Gilgul Shavua. Once we're saying, once you're swearing on a case involving Metalplin, then we can include in the Shavua as well a claim about Karka, even though by itself that wouldn't trigger a Shavua.
How do we know that the Gilgul Shavua doesn't apply just to the Sota? How do we know it applies to other things?
It's called a mamotzinu. Once we find that it works by a sota, then we see it works in other cases as well. That's how it is in general, unless we have a reason to say that in general, we assume that a din that the Torah says in one place applies to others, unless we have a reason to say otherwise. If we had a mute by the sota or something, we wouldn't say that, but we don't have that.
But we have a big reason. A sota is a very specific case.
But that's how it is. The Gemara is saying, once we see by a sota that there's a concept of Gur Ushvur, then we understand from that you can have Gur Ushvur in other areas of halacha as well. It's not a new thing. We learned all about this. We learned all about this in Kiddushin, like the earlier at the beginning of this year or summer or whatever, whenever it was that we went through that part of Kiddushin. There was Elul time last year. We learned about it. That's how it is. That is right. The concept. That is the concept of Gur Ushvur.
So that's. It's interesting that we apply dinim sota to dinim amonis. That's very interesting, and we can derive one from there to the other.
Actually, the Gemara does point it out in Kedushin over there. The Gemara does point out that we can learn it by a kavah choymer, because by sota you only need one aid in order to trigger the whole thing. Whereas by dinim mominus you need or the other way around. By sota you can't say that if you only have one aid of the stira, that's not enough. You need two aidim of the stira. So how much more so when it comes to momen, where one aid is enough to trigger a shvur, that therefore we can also apply gilgul shvur. And then the Gemara goes on to say over there how we can learn from Sofik to Vade as well. But that's how it is. We do, in fact, learn from Soita. We do, in fact, learn from there the concept of Gilgul Shvur.
And we apply that to Dinim Amonos, but also to other...
Once we learn it from there, then we can apply it to Dinim Amonos as well, based on that Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm. Shkayach.
Shabbos.